Hello, guys. It's me, the host of the show, and I'm just letting you know that I, for the first time in the history of News with Nick, forgot to press record for a bit. So the first 9 minutes of the show are actually from the stream, and so if you notice that it's lower audio quality, then don't quit. And if you notice that it's higher audio quality than the rest of the show, that would be really weird, but maybe that's the secret to good audio quality, but probably not. Okay, bye. News with Nick. It's the episode for May 27th, 2020. It is 6:41 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the start of the show. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com. And you can see the unedited video version of the show. The audio version is slightly edited to edit out times when I accidentally spill beers or forget what I was going to say and have to go get notes and stuff. But in the video version, it is unedited. I just stare into space going, what was I thinking of? Oh, this video's not right at all. Hang on. 20 minutes later, we can resume the show. But so you get the real version. If you want to know how much I suck, over at newswithnick.com. So I posted the show. Oh, and the other thing, make sure that you type in your phone number on the task, on the toolbar on the side, and you'll get text updates as to when the shows are going to go live. And subscribe to the, I don't freaking know, subscribe to the live stream. Now, we put the live stream on the Portman Show podcast's live feed. We just basically share a live feed, or rather, I just use theirs, because I'm not going to set up my own live feed and then people have to subscribe to two. Just subscribe to one. You'll get your weekend shows, and then you'll get your once a month News with Nick shows right to the thing. So anyway, type your number on the website. It'll text you when the shows are going live or when they're posted after having been recorded. And then you don't have to follow like on Twitter or Instagram, right? Because no one knows how to do that. It just goes right to your phone. Technology. I don't know. I made it up myself, and it's kind of stupid. All right. Yeah, so I post the show on Facebook. Hey, going to go live 6:41 p.m., and all these level ones, right? This happens every time I'm going on a freaking date, too. I'm like, okay, the date is going to start at 2:04 p.m. Be there for lunch. And these level ones go, that's very specific. Yeah, idiots, we know what you're going to say. Now, I want to start replying with, how is 6:41 any more specific than 7 p.m.? They're both numbers. That time is both a span of 1 minute consisting of 6:41 and 0 seconds to 6:41 and 59 seconds versus 7 o'clock and 0 seconds to 7 o'clock and 59 seconds. But that's a really autistic thing to say. However, it makes people think. They go, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, when we say 7 o'clock, we imply, like, about 7 o'clock, right? Who freaking... 7 o'clock plus or minus 15 minutes or something. This is why all speed limits should be odd numbers. And you're thinking, like, what, like 55? That's an odd number. Shut up. No. All speed limits should be, like, 61. And then everyone would just have to go exactly 61. All right, so into the news. We are going to talk a little bit about current events. So we have moved on in the world to phase... I tried to count the phases earlier when I was show prepping. Is this phase four? If we go through the phases of this coronavirus thing, right? So phase one was cancel everything. Everything's canceled. Sports, everything. The sports, the list goes on. Conferences, parades, the Boston Marathon, everything's canceled. Okay, so that's like phase one. And then phase two was like, okay, everyone runs out to the store and buys toilet paper and we all fight. I'm not 100% sure if this is chronologically right, but that felt like phase two. Like, everything's going wonky doodle. We're done with phase two. Toilet paper's like, I've never seen more toilet paper in my life than how much is in the stores right now. So then phase three is everyone stay at home. I'm in quarantine. Quarantine selfies, right? for quarantine memes. I go into quarantine and I'm gaining my Quarin 15. My Quarin 15, because you just eat so much and do nothing else, right? So that's phase three. Everyone shaming each other for not staying inside. And phase four is now we're uncanceling things, but these masks, oh boy, right? When it was buy everything, you saw like 10% masks in the store. Now it's, I don't know, depends where you live. Some places it's required. Places where it's not required, it's probably 75%, right? And now these masks are going insane. Everyone in the news wearing a mask. And I'm not going to play the clip, but there was a clip going around where a news reporter was saying, look at all the people not wearing masks. And someone walks by and goes, yeah, including your cameraman. And she goes, all right, good point. Right? It's fake. And maybe we'll get into it. Like, maybe this is why I'm so like, I don't want to wear a mask. Aside from the fact that I've worn a mask, let's get into it in a bit. But so the funny thing is, Joe Biden comes and does one of his first public appearances in quite a while. Joe Biden and his wife. And I think they're doing a memorial. And he and his wife are out in masks. And I've got the mask up on the stream right now. This is a photo that I took a screenshot of him with his wife, right? And I'm like, he looks so funny with his sunglasses and his mask. He looks so, I don't know how to describe it. I'm just like, it's me, Biden. I'm in my mask, right? And then I was going to use this as the show picture to be funny. Today, Joe Biden switches his Twitter profile to the photo of him in the mask. Amazing. Biden changes his Twitter, Facebook, and avatars to him wearing a mask. As his campaign seeks to contrast his cautious approach to the coronavirus with President Trump's more lax attitude toward wearing a personal mask in public. And it's still him in the glasses. I don't know. This photo makes me laugh so hard. I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's partly, like, the mask is a little crooked, right? It's not symmetrical. And the mask makes a shape kind of like a smile, right? So it almost looks like it's Joe Biden with just an enormous black smile on his face. And I'm not even drunk, but that looks hilarious. The vice president has been quarantining. Sorry, the former vice president has been quarantining his Delaware home, and he wore a mask to a Memorial Day ceremony on Monday in his first public outing in weeks. He and his wife put on matching black masks at a local veterans memorial in Delaware. Trump, who did not wear a mask this week when he laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery, said Tuesday he found it unusual that Biden wore a mask. This is a quote from Trump. Biden can wear a mask. But he was standing outside with his wife, perfect conditions, perfect weather. They're inside, they don't wear masks. Trump said at the White House. And so I thought it was very unusual that he would have it on, but I thought it was fine. I wasn't criticizing him. Why would I do a thing like that? Trump says, why would I do a thing like criticize Biden? Also, he says perfect weather, like implying that if it was rainy, you should wear a mask because the coronavirus could swim through the raindrops. I don't know, right? So anyway, they've got so masks are going everywhere. Trump, on the other hand, will not wear a mask at all. Trump doesn't wear a coronavirus mask in public at Ford plant. Here's what the news decides they want to report on. Thursday, President Trump went to the Ford plant and he did not wear a mask for coronavirus protection during his touring, despite a state law and company policy requiring facial coverings there. Trump, who has consistently refused to wear a mask in public. Oh, God, I wasn't recording. Hang on. No, I mean, I was recording. Oh, God, I wasn't recording. I will get it from the stream. Trump, who has consistently refused to wear a mask in public, was visiting Ford's Rawsonville components plant in Ypsilanti, which has a policy of requiring masks there. The plant is currently making ventilators in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States. Video showed Trump on the factory floor talking to Ford executives who were wearing masks. Not necessary, Trump said, when a reporter asked why he was not wearing a facial covering. Everyone's been tested and I've been tested. Trump also claimed, I had one on before in an area that was not visible to reporters, he added. I didn't want to give the press the pleasure of seeing it. So Trump says, I don't want to wear a mask because the media will see it and then they'll just start reporting on me wearing a mask. But they're reporting on him not wearing a mask either. All right. I'm having an emotional breakdown here because I didn't start the recording, but it's recording now. Should we restart the show? I feel like we should restart the show. Chat, vote. Type 1 in the chat if you think we should restart the show. I think we should. It's going to be it's going to be fake. Like if I'm going to be too nervous if I don't restart the show. Who's even in the chat? How many viewers are there? I'm going to check. 10 viewers? Oh, God, we can't restart the show. That's crazy. All right. I got to take a drink. All right, I'll pull the first part of the show from the stream. That's fine. And then I'll pull the rest of it from the recording that I started when I realized I wasn't recording. And worst case scenario, if it doesn't pull correctly, I will re-record the first part, word for word. I'll just reenact it. All right. Welcome video version to the show now that is in the middle of the first segment where we're covering masks. Trump says, I was given a choice and I had one on in an area where they preferred it, referring to the Ford executives. When Ford's executive chairman, William Ford Jr., was asked, can you confirm the president was told it was okay to not wear a mask? The guy said, it's up to him. The CEO and William Ford each were wearing masks when they were accompanied by Trump to visit the factory floor. Okay. So this is what they're reporting on. Will Trump wear a mask? Oh, here's a photo of him right now wearing a mask. That's crazy. But it's from far away. So that's what everyone's reporting on. Mask, 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 Trump, Biden. And speaking of Trump, he's got an interview that happened. He says, President Trump, he had an interview about Biden. And Trump says, he's not mentally sharp enough to be president of the United States. He doesn't even know he's alive. President Trump declined to offer any positive words toward his presumptive presidential challenger, Joe Biden, Sunday when he was asked to state just one meritorious quality of the former vice president who is expected to be on the November ballot. Expected to be? I guess they haven't had the Democratic National Convention, right, or whatever. So he's not 100% the nominee. They could, at the last second, go, no, it's me, Hillary, I'm going to be on it. When asked during a Sunday interview with WJLA what Biden's strongest feature was as a political opponent, here, we're just going to listen to it because I've got the video version and it's funnier to just hear it.
What do you think is Joe Biden's strongest feature as a competitor in politics?
Well, I would have said experience, but he doesn't really have experience because I don't think he remembers what he did yesterday. So how is that experience?
Ha!
He's been there a long time. He was never known as a smart person.
Pick one good thing. Okay, what is his weakest point?
I can't tell you. I mean, I'm really serious. He's got many.
Trump cannot think on his feet at all. Remember, like, this is something they do a lot during the debates. Say one nice thing about your opponent, and they look at each other and they go, he's a really tough competitor. He's really passionate about the things he cares about. He shows up on time. He wakes up at the crack of dawn. He goes jogging for 3 miles a day. Right? Trump can't think of anything to say nice about Joe Biden, although he does say, I would say experience, but he doesn't remember what he did yesterday. Amazing.
What do you think is Joe Biden's strongest feature as a competitor in politics?
Well, I would have said experience, but he doesn't really have experience because I don't think he remembers what he did yesterday. So how is that experience? He's been there a long time. He was never known as a smart person.
Pick one good thing.
And then Trump says, I'm really not trying to be mean. I can't think of a single thing.
Okay, what is his weakest point?
I can't tell you. I mean, I'm really serious. He's got many. I could talk about weak points all day long. First of all, he's not mentally sharp enough to be president. He's got China. He's got all these countries. Russia. I've been the worst thing that ever happened to Russia.
I'm not sure what he means by that. He's got China. He's got Russia. Okay. Biden has them or what? Like, maybe I'm missing something. Does Biden have a scandal with China or Russia?
About weak points all day long. First of all, he's not mentally sharp enough to be president. He's got China. He's got all these countries. Russia. I've been the worst thing that ever happened to Russia. Putin understands that. I get along with Putin, but he understands that. He probably doesn't want me to win, I can tell you right now. Except I think he likes me, but I'm sure he doesn't want me to win. China doesn't want me to win. But Biden doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't know he's alive. I'm against somebody. Think of it. I'm against somebody that can't answer simple questions.
Like the question, what's the best part of your opponent? This is going to be the greatest. I cannot wait for the debates to not happen because no one's allowed in an auditorium anymore. But maybe they'll do it over Zoom. I don't know. Or they'll do it with no audience. I think, I don't know. I might have to, like, this is sort of a win-win, right? If Biden does end up winning, I don't feel like we're going to lose a whole lot as far as funny goes, right? I hope he just goes everywhere with that mask on, though. Because if he promises to go everywhere with those masks and sunglasses on for the next 4 years, I might vote for Biden. Oh, boy. All right, here's an event that happened. Speaking of Trump, Charleston, South Carolina, hundreds of Trump supporters took to the Charleston Harbor today for a MAGA boat parade while spectators packed the Battery. The event, organized online, had over 700 people signed up to attend and more than 1,000 people interested. The water was packed with participants and others out boating during the holiday weekend. Let's see what this is all about.
From their boats to the Battery, hundreds came out downtown today for a boat parade, all in support of President Donald Trump. You see the flags out there with Trump in bold letters. Lillian Donahue spoke with some of those boaters, but also an activist who said he's concerned about the event's safety during this pandemic.
I mean, sorry, that was rude of me to imply that this person is going to be whiny, but let's find out. I haven't seen this video, actually. This is a 2-minute long video.
So an activist who said he's...
Why are there just boats that say Trump all over them?
Boatloads. Yeah, like he said, boatloads. There's a lot.
Hundreds of boaters took to the Charleston Harbor with their flags flying.
It's basically just to show support and love our country, love our president for everything he's done.
By mid-morning, the boat landings were filled.
This.
And around noon, they began their route around the Battery.
It's just people who own boats, just old rich guys who own boats. So, like, we're going to boat around and scream Trump. All right, let's see what this old guy has to say.
Came out to see how big it was going to be, and we're overwhelmed. It's just huge.
Some even from...
He's all this guy...
Huge.
And his wife, sorry. And his wife's friend? I don't know who this is. They're all wearing Make America Great Again hats. Now, what would happen? Like, how mad would people be if the Republicans wore masks, but they were MAGA masks, right? Just Make America Great Again masks. That would be how you get them to wear them, right? Just hand those out. So if you really are for safety. Now, why are the Republicans the ones that don't want to wear masks? I don't understand.
Well, it's just huge.
Some even from other states.
Vail, Colorado. Wouldn't miss it.
The event was organized online and had over 700 people signed up to attend.
I mean, we can't have rallies right now. We still want to support our president. And as you can see, there's lots of people out here that are supporting him.
But not everyone was as excited to hear about the...
Ooh, we're going to get the counter argument.
The parade. Local activist William Hamilton called on Democrats to do community service this weekend rather than protest. Today he voiced his concerns about the lack of social distancing in the midst of a pandemic.
Well, my first thought is that it was remarkable that when Americans are dying at the rate of over 1,000 a day and 40 million people were out of work, that somebody thought it was appropriate to hold a big party.
There's also been...
Huh. Yeah, if you don't agree with someone, this is just the go-to now, right? Oh, they all got together and protested something or had a rally? Ugh, they're going to kill people.
Appropriate to hold a big party.
There's also been quite the law enforcement presence out here during my time. I've seen the Charleston Police Department.
Boring. And the Department of Natural Resources. Yeah, so is it because, like, the Republicans are the ones that don't like being told what to do that they're all anti-mask? Now, not all Republicans are, obviously, but it does tend to be very left people, like Biden, are like, wear the mask, wear the mask. And the rights are like, not a big deal, not a big deal. And I said this back in March, and I still don't know why, but whatever. And I'm still not 100% sure why I don't want to wear a mask, except I tried it, and it made my face hot. Like, I just kept breathing, and then the breath, the hot breath, would bounce back into my face, and it was quite uncomfortable. So I do have a dilemma coming up, right, regarding this. I do have a job, and for the most part, my job has been very, like, do your best, wash your hands, use gloves when you get coffee, right, from the communal coffee maker, which I'm not sure if that does anything either. I was at the dollar store this week, and when you check out, there's the credit card machine, and the credit card machine where you type in your numbers is just covered in, well, you don't type your numbers into it. You guys know what I mean, right? It's the keypad, right? Is covered with a Ziploc plastic bag. So the touch still goes through, but it's covered in a plastic bag. What is that doing, right? It's not like they're changing the plastic bag every customer. It's the same plastic bag. Isn't that just the same as touching the screen? And this goes back to, like, people who are wearing gloves in the supermarket. And people are saying, you can't just wear gloves in the supermarket because you're spreading stuff all over the place. Now, there is one thing that this has made me think of, which is eating Cheetos or, like, Cheez-Its with the white cheddar with gloves is actually an amazing idea because that powder gets everywhere. And I would actually eat those things, if I ate those, with gloves. Because then you don't have to lick off your hands or wash your hands. You just eat them with the gloves, and then you take the gloves off at the end. And anyone seeing you do that is going to think you're an idiot. But no, you're actually the smartest person in the room because you're not trying to avoid corona. You're just trying to avoid that stupid powder from going into your fingertips and your fingernails, right? Okay, so, but starting apparently next month, my job is going to have masks that you're supposed to wear at work. And the news that I've gotten is that the rule is supposed to be 100% of the time you're at work, you're supposed to wear the mask. That's insane, right? I'm sitting at a desk in an office, could be, you know, 50 feet from the next person. They're saying the rule is you have to wear the mask. Unless you're eating, right? Like for lunch. Or I don't know, define eating, right? So I just go in. First thing I do, open my granola bar, take a bite, set it down with the wrapper undone, and then I just leave it there. I'm eating. I'm just taking a really long time between bites. Checkmate, police. No, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm basically just going to take the sit and watch approach because I don't think this is going to fly. And there's a lot of people with bigger personalities and probably more sway than I have that are also not going to want to be sitting at their desk breathing their own smelly hot breath up their noses when it makes no sense to do so. So this should be interesting. We're just going to see what happens for a bit. Maybe they just kick me out and I have to work in the courtyard. That wouldn't be the worst, right? I have to work outside now. Any other mask news? Is everyone bored of this yet? It's been 25 minutes of masks. We do have an update from last week. Remember, we covered the Ahmaud Arbery, and I say last week, I use that term loosely, right? Ahmaud Arbery shooting, where two guys drove down the street and like blocked his way, and then there was a skerfuffle, and then a skerbangle. Man who recorded the shooting is also now charged with felony murder. William Bryan, the man who recorded the February killing of Ahmaud Arbery, has been arrested and charged with felony murder and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation said Thursday. He's 50, and he's the third person to be charged in connection with the Arbery death. Let's see what this video is about.
In the case of Ahmaud Arbery, the unarmed African-American man was shot and killed in February while out for a jog in his Georgia neighborhood. A father and son have already been charged in his death, but tonight police say they have also arrested the man who recorded video of the killing. Ooh. Investigators say they are charging William Bryan with murder and false imprisonment. Here's CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
William Bryan recorded the February 23rd video showing Gregory and Travis.
Skipping ahead.
He was seen on cameras. Manuel Bohorquez, CBS News.
Well, that told us nothing. All right, we got to read the story instead. Bryan said he had nothing to do with Arbery's death. I had nothing to do with it. I'm trying to get my life back to normal. It's been smeared for the last week. I was told I was a witness, and I'm not sure what I am other than receiving a bunch of threats. My client was responding to what he saw, his lawyer says, which was someone in the community he didn't know being followed by a vehicle he recognized. Bryan's attorney told the news outlet. Without going into detail about the level of crime in this community, in this subdivision, I think most people in this subdivision were aware there were issues. Attorneys for the Arbery family commended the arrest, saying, "We called for his arrest from the very beginning of this process. His involvement in the murder of Mr. Arbery was obvious to us, to many around the country, and after a thorough investigation, it was clear to the GBI as well." What was his involvement, though? Am I missing something? Because I didn't think that there was any argument of the facts of the case where two guys jumped in a truck, ran down, cut off Arbery's path, got out, and did the skerfuffle bangle thing. And then there was a guy behind them that was recording. So if I see a white man on the street chasing a black man and I decide to start running while recording, I could be a murderer? That doesn't seem right. Unless the guy with the video was like, "Murder, murder." Like, we obviously know whose, quote, team he was on because he knew the people. But my understanding of the case is that he took the video and he immediately turned the video over to the police. He didn't hide it. He didn't, like, grind it up in a Will It blender. He just turned it over. He said, "Here's the video. I took it." Right? Well, we'll watch this. I don't see that sticking. That doesn't make any sense. Speaking of Ahmaud Arbery, I got to call everyone's attention to this joke post I made on Facebook. And this was before I recorded the last show, where I went into this thing about, the news is calling him a jogger. He was running. Don't call the runners joggers. It's the most offensive thing. It's more offensive than being called a thief, right? So I post on Facebook, "The most insulting part of all of this is that the news keeps calling Ahmaud Arbery a jogger. Hashtag run with mod." Nobody understood. Everyone who replied to this said, "What are you talking about?" They thought I was being offensive or something. They thought I was being, I don't know, dense. They thought maybe I didn't think he was a jogger, aka didn't think he was a runner. Doesn't matter. This article comes out a week and a half later on Vice.com. "Extremists are celebrating Arbery's killing in the worst places on the internet and turning his assailants into white supremacist folk heroes. White supremacists have a new code word for the N-word. They're calling them joggers." A direct reference to the death of Ahmaud Arbery, the young black man who was shot dead in February while he was running in a suburban neighborhood. "They've celebrated Arbery's death in the worst places in the internet. Over the recent years, online extremists have been conducting a shared private language that they use to dog whistle in public online arenas without having to worry about getting banned for hate speech." So, you know, this is back when Remember when now the OK symbol is like a racist symbol? Jogger is the latest example. Okay. So this is from Vice.com. I'm not sure if that is the most reputable source for getting a pulse on the internet white nationalist community. And their screenshot is from 4chan. And 4chan is a bunch of people who like to hack the graduation ceremonies and put up Nazi symbols. In fact, it looks like their four leaves here are just a Nazi swastika in disguise. It's hard to see. It's hard to, like, if you're not on the video version of the show, you can't see this. But it's like four leaves and they're all turned into all four orientations. So whatever. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious. I don't put any credibility in this, and I don't think that white nationalists are actually calling black people joggers in an offensive way. I'm sure some of them are. The same ones that go, white nation, no joggers. Now we start the deport doggers. Remember that? Remember that chant? Sometimes I still chant that. It's funny. Speaking of shootings, speaking of horrible deaths, so this is going on actually like as we speak. This is breaking news today. Protesters are gathering where George Floyd was killed, as well as the Minneapolis Police Department's 3rd Precinct. So this was a video that just came out. It was horrible, where a, you know, it's the standard police are arresting a black guy and he gets killed as part of the process, unfortunately.
He's demonstrated near 38th in Chicago, where 46-year-old George Floyd of St. Louis Park was taken into custody and then died. Some protesters also marched to the 3rd Precinct, where it's believed the four officers involved in the death worked. They have since been fired.
This is
protesters
great.
Protesters threw things at the building and at squads.
They're like destroying
they
cop cars
and broke windows. Police and riot gear used tear gas and flashbangs, while protesters threw rocks and water bottles at the police.
So huge, huge protest. I found this raw video where the police start marching down the street and the cameraman is literally just standing right next to them and he just starts yelling his call sign from the news so that they don't shoot him. They're gonna start throwing grenades here in a sec. I don't know, like, how do you know you're not gonna hit someone in the eyeball or the face with that? Those are real, like, projectiles that you're throwing. They may not be frag grenades, right? The only thing I know about grenades is what's in video games. But still, like, are these flashbangs? But they just throw them up into the air.
I'm with WCCO.
The cameraman just starts yelling, I'm with the news, I'm with the news, I'm with the news.
I'm with WCCO.
Get out of here.
Get out of here! Okay, I'm good.
He starts running while yelling, WCCO.
WCCO!
So if you ever want to get in anywhere and just carry your camera and just start yelling WCCO, people are going to be like, I don't know, that sounds legitimate, right? So we'll keep an eye on the protests in Minneapolis. Let's see. Let's skip ahead. Well, not skip ahead so much. How long have we been doing this show? Half an hour? Got a news story here. The manhunt intensified Monday. Oh, wait. We should do a search and see if there's actually an update to this. So give me 2 seconds. Ooh. So we have a guy on the run. Peter Manfredonia. He's a high school grad. He's wanted in connection with 2 Connecticut homicides, a kidnapping, a home invasion, and a serious assault in a spree that began on Friday. So he's on a spree, and he's on the run. And if we love anything, it is people on the run. On Monday, Michael Dolan, an attorney representing the guy's family, urged the 23-year-old to turn himself in.
Over the course of this weekend, he's been on the run since Friday. Police tonight finding his car in New Jersey near the Pennsylvania border. He was last seen in East Stroudsburg. Police say he is armed and dangerous, and anyone who sees him should call 911.
Peter, if you are listening, your entire family loves you, Dolan said outside his Hamden law office. No one wants any harm to come to you. It's time to let the healing process begin. It's time to surrender. Let's see. Pennsylvania State Police Trooper said man Fredoya was last seen Sunday afternoon. Jeez. In a town near the New Jersey border, Pennsylvania State Police released an image of him walking on railroad tracks carrying what appeared to be a large duffel bag. The FBI joined the search effort on Monday, assisting the state police in Connecticut, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Police say the crimes began Friday morning when he attacked two men in upstate Connecticut. Theodore Demers was killed during the incident in Williamton, and another man was critically injured. So this guy attacks two men. I'm not sure what the motivation of the attack was yet. He's also accused of killing Nicholas Isel, who was also from his high school, in his Derby home on Sunday morning. So that's 2 days later, right? So on Friday, you go crazy. You attack two people. And then on Sunday morning, you attack this next guy. He was an acquaintance. And he's also accused of kidnapping the man's girlfriend before releasing her unharmed on Sunday in New Jersey. We got to hear that girl's story. Police say he walked to Asael's home after crashing a truck he had stolen in a home invasion earlier on Sunday in Wilmington. He crashed a truck? What a terrible criminal. Like, I'm going to invade a home, I'm going to steal a truck, but then I'm going to crash it. So he goes to the guy's house. He held, this is the guy that he broke into and stole the truck from, held a man captive. He stole guns, food, and supplies, but did not harm him. Wow, this is crazy. There are still many unknowns surrounding the investigation, including the guy's whereabouts and what prompted the alleged crime spree. So it appears as he was just a guy, right? Probably not a normal, a mentally ill person, but then he just started criming, right? He's like, well, guess it's time to GTA. All right, I do have an update from today, so let's see what this has to say. Police in Pennsylvania say they believe that Peter, who's wanted in connection with two homicides, was spotted near Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, Tuesday morning, and then used a rideshare service to continue on to Hagerstown, Maryland. He used Uber or Lyft? You can do that if you're on the run? There's no way for them to call Uber. Hey, by the way, this guy's account, can you not block it, but can you just call us real quick and pretend to take a super long time? Oh, yeah, they just redirect it. So when you call for an Uber, it just calls the police. And they go, yes, your ride will be there shortly. And then the police just come. And he goes, get in. It's me, your Uber. You're legally required to get in now, or you're going to get a one-star rider review, and you don't want that. That's worse than getting arrested. So, come on. The man watching, man Fredoya's description. Wait, what the heck? What does this mean? Pennsylvania State Police released the information Wednesday afternoon, 30 hours after the sighting occurred. Oh, the man matching. I'm blind. I'm like, the man watching? The man matching, Manfredonia's description. I'm pronouncing this guy's name wrong. Manfredonia. Was seen at a Sheetz convenience store. Nice! In Chambersburg, which is just off I-81 in southern Pennsylvania. And guess what? He's wearing a mask. Oh my God. My mind is blown. Of course. He's wearing a mask because in Pennsylvania, you have to wear a mask to go inside. This is perfect. I'm on the run. I have to wear a mask. Okay. Checkmate, police. Freaking amazing. No wonder. This is probably why he did a crime. He's like, now's my chance. You can do any crime and they'll never catch you. How do they think that this is him from this from the security cam? He's wearing glasses, the shape of his haircut. I don't know. Police say the person they believe could be Manfredonia. What if it's just some other kid? He's like, no, I'm just wearing a bandana. He then received a ride from an Uber driver to Hagerstown, Maryland. And if it really was him, wouldn't they be able to really quickly confirm with Uber? Hey, by the way, did the account associated with this guy's credit card just get in a car or not? The police can't get that info without a warrant. That'd be kind of cool. But it seems like there's enough data to find him. And how is he calling an Uber without a phone? And if he has a phone, there's GPS. Don't you just find him from the GPS? I always assumed that if there's a crime going on, you pull a Gustavo and you take the phone, and it's only a flip phone, obviously, because that would be the only thing Gustavo would ever use. And then you bend it in the reverse direction, and it breaks right down the middle, and then you throw it right in the trash. I never have a phone on you. I don't understand any of this story. I'm going crazy. If he's got a phone to call an Uber, just ping the GPS on the phone, idiots. All right. Again, maybe being a cop isn't as easy as I think. Maybe you do have to, like, get a warrant to get the GPS data. Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, police near Scranton searched a wooded area near a coal mining town after another possible sighting of Manfredonia. Police and a crew aboard a Pennsylvania State Police helicopter searched a wooded area. Look for a man in a mask. He's wearing a mask. He's going to get away. The manhunt went into its sixth day on Wednesday. State and federal authorities are engaged in a massive search that now covers multiple states. He might be in Maryland. He's considered armed and dangerous. Call 911 immediately. Blah, 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 blah. So, we're going to see how long this guy is on the run for. Now, we do not hope for any more crime, right? And we do hope that he's caught eventually. But we do also hope that maybe he'll do something funny between now and then. Or the whole state should just say, you know what? Because of this guy, no masks anymore. No masks allowed in any store. This guy's getting away with stuff. Right? Then he'd be a hero. Okay, switching gears to another story that hit the news for a bit. Police say a Jonestown man is facing a slew. This is Jonestown, also Pennsylvania. What is wrong over there? Pennsylvania man is facing a slew of charges after attempting to light a four-year-old child on fire to burn the demon out of him. Josiah James McIntosh, 27, was arrested on Wednesday following a domestic disturbance incident at a residence along Wren Street in Southmont Borough, police say. McIntosh faces charges of aggravated assault, simple assault, reckless endangerment, making terroristic threats, arson, and child endangerment. No, no, no. You can't charge me with arson and child endangerment. I tried to arson the child. That's one. Authorities say at approximately 1:15 p.m. Wednesday, officers were dispatched to the residence for a domestic situation. Upon arriving at the scene, police say they spoke to a man. Hello, officer. How's it going? I'm just me and my son. Don't mind his chars. So they spoke to a man. He walked into the oven by accident, and I pulled him out. Told them that McIntosh attacked and threw a brick at him when he intervened within his attempt to charm the child. Oh, my bad. He was not the one who answered the door. It was another guy. He said, hey, police, this guy threw a brick at me. Police added that they observed visible injuries to the man's left side as well as his head and ear area. Officers say they then located the child, who was standing naked inside the residence, had gasoline poured on him and around him. Oh, my goodness. After a brief search of the neighborhood, police say they located McIntosh, who smelled of gasoline and was in possession of a disposable lighter. Oh, for a second, I was picturing, like, him also being naked, but no, they didn't say that the guy was naked running around with a lighter. McIntosh is being housed at the prison, blah, blah, blah. So I don't understand what happened. Apparently, luckily, someone intervened. He realized that this man was pouring gas on a kid. and intervened, and then the guy made a run for it, going, this does not look good. It's not what it looks like, police. It is not what it looks like. It's just a gas can and a lighter and a kid. Wow, that's crazy. This was a funny one, too. A head teacher said he is sorry, and this is from Britain, right? So anything could happen in Britain. A head teacher says he is sorry if homework asking pupils to define types of hardcore pornography led them to undertake inappropriate web searches. The work was given to children aged 11 to 14 at Archbishop Sentamu Academy and in Hull. Hull what? What country is Hull? Oh, well, we'll never know. Principal Che Bell stressed the assignment did not require internet searches. The answers were in the material the pupils were sent. Leon Dagan, the parent was apparently, was flabbergasted when he saw his 13-year-old sister's homework. I'm an idiot! It's his brother! Sure, her brother. His brother. She's brother. The work is part of pupils' personal, social, and health education, which is apparently a thing. Students were asked to define topics, including hardcore porn, soft pornography, as well as female genital mutilation and breast ironing. I don't know what that last thing is. Someone write in. Breast ironing? So there's a screenshot here. It says, define sexuality. Define drag queen. Define heterosexuality. Define homosexual. Define transvestite. So those are all, quote, fine, right? They're all terms that people use. And then it's really strange because it says define heterosexual, define homosexual, define transvestite, and then it says define transgender pornography. Like the word porn is added only to the end of that question. Now, the next section says define pornography, define soft porn, define hardcore porn, define revenge porn, and define sexting. But it's really funny that in the previous section, only define transgender pornography is the one with the pornography, almost like it was like an autofill or an accidental paste, like that word isn't supposed to be in that section, right? Because transvestite and transgender are different, but why would you want them to define transgender pornography but not just define transgender, huh? I really feel like there was like a mistype and they're trying to play it off like, oops, sorry about that, and they're not. I mean, I guess it would be smarter to just say, oh, there was a mistype. My typewriter screwed up, right? Here's an interesting situation I found that is relevant to my past life slightly. I used to be a wedding videographer. Well, I used to be a videographer, right? I'm not sure that I talk a lot about this having happened. When I was a young boy, my dad said, hey, Nick, it's me, your father, with the camera. And so because of that, I've got about, I don't know, 300 hours of video on Microsoft OneDrive that my dad has taken of me as a child. But I was always like, give me that camera. I want to take video too. This is sweet. So then I grew up, became a man. Nah, just kidding. That never happened. But I became a person that could afford a camera. So I got them and I used them. And I was like, recording is great. Editing videos is amazing. Is there any way to make money? And there's not. Except in wedding videos, because that you go to the normal person, like who wants a video? A skater? What are you going to find a skater boy to follow around? The only way to make money really off the average person is with videography. That's the only time you ever hire, sorry, with wedding videography. That's the only time you ever hire a person with a camera, right? This is from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Justin Montanelli lost his bride-to-be in a fatal car crash a few months ago. And then, to add insult to injury, the videographer that was set to capture their wedding is denying a refund and threatening a lawsuit. Montanelli reached out to KRDO. KRDO! KRDO! Don't shoot! KRDO! For help after Copper Stallion Media threatened to sue him for defamation after he threw a review on TheKnot.com explaining the situation. Well, that's cool. It's like a website. It's like the Yelp of bridal stuff. He told KRDO that he paid $1,800 up front to Copper Stallion Media. I never charged enough. I could have been charging twice what I charged. Which is a Texas-based wedding videographer and photography company. After multiple requests, he said the company has continuously refused to give him or Alexis's family a refund. Montney told us he understands they signed a contract saying the payment was non-refundable, but he believes since these circumstances were beyond his control, which doesn't matter as far as contracts go, but the company should honor his request. We've called and emailed the company for a response, and we're still waiting to hear back. Let's see what this video has to say.
A young bride from Colorado Springs died suddenly just 3 months.
Let me go back a second before anyone starts thinking I'm a dick. Yes, if he signed a contract that it was non-refundable and something happened beyond his control, like the venue caught fire, right? That doesn't necessarily mean he deserves a refund. But if your bride dies, that's insane for the wedding video company to not immediately go, oh my God, that's... Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's your money back. Yes, we hope for the best for you and your family, right? There's no person in their right mind would go, nope, you signed a contract, especially over $1,800. It's not like $180,000 and builders were halfway building their dream mansion and the fiance dies and he's like, I don't want to move into my dream mansion now. Also understandable, but that would be a little different. $1,800. And this video company is risking everything just to say, nope, too bad. Find another girl quick before the wedding.
Before she was set to walk down the aisle. Now, as KRDO News Channel 13's Julia Donovan has found out, the family has run into an unexpected snag as they settle her affairs. Julia.
Yeah, as her fiancé mourns the terrible loss, he's in a difficult battle with a company that was supposed to film on the big day. He reached out to KRDO for help. 22-year-old Alexis Wyatt died in a car crash on Highway 24 in February. The wedding would have been this Saturday, May 23rd. Fiancé Justin Montney now left to pick up the pieces in the financial fallout from their wedding plans that never happened. Alexis signed a contract with a photography company called Copper Stallion Media to take their wedding video.
Skipping ahead.
Justin's friends heard that. They posted dozens of bad reviews all over Copper Stallion's page called The Knot.
Okay, so yeah, he tries to get a refund. They say no. He says, okay, I'm telling people to post reviews.
And did respond to all of those comments online, calling them a smear campaign and saying they don't have the money to refund him because of COVID-19. But Justin begs to differ.
We're just putting out the facts that have happened so far. I messaged them clear back in February before COVID was even a part of this issue.
So, he writes to Copper Stallion Media. Now, I went to Copper Stallion Media's website, and it looks like a legit website. Now, sometimes how these companies work is that they will actually be just the salespeople of a wedding video. So, they'll sell it, but they actually contract the work out to weirdos like me. Kind of like how Home Depot will sell you a roof, but then they will contract it out. And that's why if you buy a roof from Home Depot, you're always getting worse work because, oh, yeah, it's Home Depot. How could they sell a shitty roof? No. The math says that the only contractors that would take work from Home Depot are so bad they can't get their own work on their own. So I'm not sure if that's how Copper Stallion Media works, but I think that's a large portion of their business is that they will contract, they'll sell the video and then they'll contract it out. So they paid someone or they just don't have the money. Either way, they decided to not say, sorry, we can't refund you. Sorry, we'll do our best. They just said, nope, you kind of contract and it's our money and we're not refunding you. So I went to Copper Stallion Media and the website looked fine. It looked like a legit business, which you can make any business look like a legit business. Now you go to copperstallionmedia.com and it's blank. It is gone. It's just a white page. Is there any way to like index.html? Page not found. It doesn't look like there's anything here. The other thing that this company did was they registered justinmontney.com. They registered the guy's name and they posted up a smear thing. Now you go to justinmontney.com, it's completely changed, And the only thing that's on here is a video called The Perfect Circle Disillusioned Lyrics. It's just a song. What does it mean? Can we view the page source? Oh, wait. The description of the page. Oh, my God. Guys, we're hacking the internet right now. If you go page source, the meta data of description still says Justin Montney smear campaign evidence website. But the website's been taken down. This was a website that showed like the emails, screenshots, and then made fun of the guy. Right? It was crazy, but it's been taken down. Doesn't that suck that we can't read that website? Or did your favorite news reporting person who would never leave you in the dark find this website and realize this is the ramblings of an insane person, and as soon as someone gets a hold of this that has any brain on their head, they're going to take this website straight down. I better save it. Yes, he did. To my local computer, I still own justinmontney.com, and I have all of the stuff that was already there before it was taken down because I'm a genius, you idiots. And no one realizes how smart I am. Allegations, Copper Stellion Media. This is Copper Stellion Media owns this website, and they posted all this. A wedding videography company signed a legally binding contract between Justin Montney and his fiancée on November 29th, 2019. The fiancée was killed in a car accident February 4th, 2020. And then on February 17th, Justin reached out by email to tell us that the wedding was off due to the death of his fiancée. We replied and expressed our sympathy and explained to him that all of the wedding contracts are non-refundable. And then they have a link to Merriam-Webster.com dictionary non-refundable. He kept emailing us trying to get us to refund, and we kept reiterating that the contract is non-refundable. We eventually stopped responding since the issue was moot. On May 18th, 2020, Justin Montney emailed stating that since he did not hear from us or receive a refund, he was notifying us that a presence will be taking place on social media. This statement shows malice and intent to harm the reputation of Copper Stellion Media. And by the way, the top of this website has just his crazy eye face. Should this be the album? Should this be the show photo? Right? Or not? I don't know. I'm torn on if this is an interesting story or not. A business has entirely decided to lose everything they had. Maybe they had nothing to begin with over this. Let us explain to you why wedding service contracts are non-refundable. First, when we reserve the date with you, the date is yours. Blah, blah, blah. We block off that date. Blah, 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 blah. If something should ever happen and the wedding is canceled, like in this scenario, we keep that money as liquidated damages as there is a likelihood that we'll never rebook the date with someone else. Blah, 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 blah. Second, Justin and his fiancée booked two videographers with us. Now we have two shooters who cannot film that day. I'm not sure what shooters have to do with this, but that is a threat. WCCO. I don't know. Anyway. Now we have two shooters who cannot film that day and lose out on that income. Non-refundable deposits are industry standard. It's all fine, but it's beside the point that a person is no longer able to walk the aisle or like even wheel the aisle. So your PR from refunding, your PR from this is you lost everything. They lost everything. So they say, since this smear campaign started, we have received numerous emails, phone calls, and comments online. We are documenting everything to build our case against Justin Montney. Maybe this was their all in, right? Maybe they were like, okay, the business is failing. We do suck, but this Justin Montney guy is our ticket out of here. He's smearing us. If we can do our best to prove that our business has gone down the gutter because of him and his breach of contract, we can sue him for millions and get our business back. Is that the play here? I don't know. They say the contract was non-refundable. We will never refund Justin Montney, even with the online threats and harassment. If we knew he was going to shake us down, we would have charged a higher deposit. All right, so here's the email exchange. They have the original emails. Dear Copper Stellion, I regret to inform you my fiance passed away in a car accident. I'm hoping to cancel my arrangements we made with a refund. What a horrible email to have to write, right? That was 2 weeks after the accident. Copper Stallion Media writes back, "I'm so sorry, Justin. We will take you off our calendar. Please note that the services are non-refundable under the terms of our contract. I do wish you well." That was like 20 minutes after the original was written. 15. Okay. About 5 hours later, Justin writes back. He's a smart guy. He says, "Well then, I would like to push my reservation for 10 years from now in case I ever get married." Smart, right? Non-refundable, but let's move the reservation to 10 years from now. That or I could have a refund, or I could even send you a picture of the death certificate. Ooh. And I would either like to still receive the services I'm forced to pay for with the death of a party on the contract or a refund. What if he was like, "Okay, I paid, you're coming to my house, and you're going to record whatever I do, and you're going to like it." All the other arrangements were understanding during this tragedy, meaning all the other like companies he contracted with. "Please let me know what options I have going forward." They don't reply. Justin says, "I noticed you did not reply to my email on February 22nd. What? February 22nd. Oh, there were some emails missing here then, because the one we just read was February 17th. Okay. "I'm just notifying you that a presence will be taking place on social media." So, Copper Stallion Media continues to write on this stupid website, "When Justin didn't get his way, he turned to the interwebs." They think they're cool by calling it the interweb. "After his story was published online, the smear campaign began. The below reviews are from the Knot. We had to shut it down. We received over 75 one-star reviews in a matter of hours." So they're just getting brigaded online. Same goes for our Yelp. "We also received some colorful voicemails," right? They got voicemails, and then Copper Stallion put the voicemails on YouTube and put them on this website. I did not save those. Sorry. But they weren't that interesting anyway. Finally, at the bottom, they set their final statement. "For every action, there is a reaction," _ bold, capitals. "We understand that a death occurred, but it's not right for people to turn to the internet and sodomize the reputation of a company. This is malice, and the intent was to do harm. We know Justin is still young and in his 20s, but this was wrong. He could have quietly filed a small claim to try to recoup the non-refundable deposit. Instead, he chose the internet to shake us down. This website is registered with us for the next 2 years. Thanks to your non-refundable deposit, you support this website and domain." Oh my God. They're basically like, "Thanks for giving us the money so that we can pay for a website to put your face on it and make fun of you." How much time do they spend on this? They say, "Welcome to the interwebs, you stupid S. You stupid S." They use the actual word. JustinMontney.com. And again, it is now down. Why? Why is it down? Did they have a change of heart? Did the registrar of the website, like the hosting of the website, go, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing? Your account's canceled." But it's not down. Like, the content is down and it's replaced with something else. So it's not like a 404, like site not found. The site exists. Why has it disappeared? This is a mystery. Then we're going to have to keep our eyes on this. I love saying we're going to keep our eyes on things because it implies that I'm going to do more work for you, for the show, to report this stuff. I'm freaking not. No, I will. But like, it's like me signing up to do future work, and there's no guarantee that I will keep my eye on any of this. And most of the time, I go to write the show notes for these shows, and I go, "What did I talk about? What do I even say in the quip, in the quirky thing, the little thing?" Here's a story. We'll end with this. This was similar to a story we played last show too. A Caroline County family discovered nearly $1 million in cash. This is just a common thing that's happening now. Kids finding a quarter mil next to the ATM. Families finding a mil in the road.
Discovery after finding two bags they thought were full of trash while out for a weekend drive.
It wasn't until they got home that they realized they just hauled nearly $1 million in cash home. Crime Insider John Burkett is live now with the details in that story. John?
A finder's keeper's bill? Well, that is not the lesson that a Caroline County teacher taught her children.
That's always what the news says. Is it finder's keepers or is it finder's weepers because they can't keep her?
Not the lesson that a Caroline County teacher taught her children over the weekend. In fact, it was opposite. It was return it if it doesn't belong to you. Integrity. Once you talk to Caroline County's Shantz family, you can tell their morals and values are about as rock solid as Billy Goat's Gruff on the side of Route 250.
What in the heck is the news? I love this show. I love this show that we turn just into making fun of the news. Okay, so it's B-roll. First of all, they start with a screenshot of the definition of integrity from Google.com. You can tell by the way the definition is laid out, then when you type in define integrity into Google.com, it just comes out like this. And then some B-roll. Now, if you don't know what B-roll is, I suggest you call Copper Stallion Media and see if they'll give you a lesson. Maybe they'll set up a website with your name. And with cars going by, and then they say, this family's integrity is as strong as a billy goat. Why? Because along this road, there's like a billy goat farm? Who knows? Let's find out. And I'll pause the video about 10 more times because I like drawing out shows because it makes it look like I've done more work when the show goes longer. Also, there's about 10 minutes at the beginning that got lost.
Family. You can tell their morals and values are about as rock solid as Billy Goat's Gruff on the side of Route 250 in Goochland.
He said, man, this is a cruel joke. You find a bag of money and you got to give it back.
They were on a drive Saturday afternoon
Who says you had to give it back?
Saturday afternoon weaving through backcountry Central Virginia roads when they came across some goats and pre-made storage sheds.
It made a huge clunk noise.
Emily Shantz says the car before them swerved and missed the bag, but they couldn't. They accidentally hit it.
Huh?
So they got out thinking someone had dumped trash in the middle of Broad Street.
They hit a bag and like money flies everywhere.
Thinking someone had dumped trash in the middle of Broad Street. They picked the bag up, threw it in the back of the truck, saw one 15 feet away, threw that in the back of the truck, and headed into town. Little did they know, they were driving around for hours with nearly $1 million in cold cash.
Inside of the bag, there was little packages that were little plastic-like bags, and they were addressed on the front of them, and it said Cash Vault.
The Shantz called Caroline County deputies.
They've been found out that they've been riding around all day with almost $1 million in the truck.
What the heck is this angle? Okay, I'm so sorry. People not seeing the video version. They're interviewing the police over, it appears to be Zoom, and the angle of this guy, his background is his ceiling lights. So it's like he's talking into an iPad or a phone or something that's on the table.
Hello, news?
Yes, okay. None of these people know how to set up a camera.
Found out that they've been riding around all day with almost $1 million in the truck.
Deputies are investigating. They believe the mailbags belong to the Postal Service and money inside meant for BB&T. But how they ended up on the side of the road remains a mystery. Major Scott Moser paid the family a visit Monday.
To have someone so honest and won't just give that $1 million back, it was just exceptional on their part. And the two sons were there. I put the police lights on for them, but we're just very proud of them. Huh? And they really...
I put the police lights on for them? Come on over, son. Oh, no, I see what he's saying. Okay, I thought that like that was a show of respect. I'm going to put the police lights on for you. No, the kids come over and like, can you make your car go woo-woo? I'm a kid. Give me a Lamborghini.
Lights on for them, but we're just very proud of them, and they really represented this county well by being so honest.
You do the right thing and return it because it doesn't belong to us.
And another question that remains unanswered tonight is, will the Shantz family get some kind of reward money for finding all of that cash? I'll find out and follow up with them and give you an update a little bit later on. Working for you, John Burkett, CBS.
I mean, the obvious level one thing is like, okay, if you found that much money and they were all in separate containers, would you just pretend that like maybe two of the containers went into the creek right? And they actually went into your creek, if you know what I mean. I said that that was going to be the last story, but something I said, I made a callback, and then I remembered that there was a whole other story. Remember the kid who last week was trying to steal a Lamborghini, or no, he was trying to buy a Lamborghini. Five-year-old Utah boy who made headlines last week for taking his parents' Dodge Journey for a ride in the hopes of reaching California to buy a Lamborghini has gotten to take a spin in one. Adrian was pulled over, blah, blah, blah. We already did all this. But things might get more exciting for him soon. Fox 13 reports that an unnamed company in California has invited him to fly out to actually drive a Lamborghini under supervision. So this kid, who everyone thought was hilarious because he's just a kid stealing their family's car and he's fat. Okay, the last part doesn't matter so much, right? He now gets to ride in a Lamborghini and he might even go get to drive one because it's funny. Like if the company lets you do it, like, come on out. Drive a Lamborghini, kid. We'll take a video of you. The news will come out. It's a great plan for the Lamborghini company. But this doesn't seem right at all. I feel like he shouldn't be allowed to do this.
California to buy one, but like we never thought it'd be the next day.
With his feet barely reaching the pedals,
hey, this little kid's wild.
Adrian made it the five-year-old's inside a real one.
All right, I had to skip ahead.
He displayed were magnificent to me.
Adrian spends hours watching Lamborghini videos online, but this is the first time he's been inside a real one.
So there's two separate things going on here, if I haven't been clear. He already got to ride in one. Some company just like let him ride in one. And there's a second company and apparently in the news story that's saying, oh, he might be able to drive one soon. I should probably just Google and see if this has already happened. No. Can you imagine this kid? He's just sitting around all day on his iPad or his Chromebook watching videos of Lamborghinis. Well, you know what? The kid knows what he wants, right? What are you going to say?
Go fast.
You know? Okay, we'll go fast.
Grateful that no one got hurt by Adrian's adventure.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's hilarious. The sister, who's 16, remember, she said in the last video, how does he know how to drive a car and I don't even know how to drive a car? She's got the longest nails that are fake. She's holding the kid on her lap, question mark? I mean, he doesn't really fit on a person's lap. And then he's driving the Lamborghini super fast, the driver of the Lamborghini.
Grateful that no one got hurt by Adrian's adventure, his family overcome with emotion because of a stranger's generosity.
She doesn't have an explanation. She's like lost of words.
Fulfilling a five-year-old's dream, but also keeping him away from the car keys.
Wow, he gets to mow the lawn too? Well, at least it's not a riding mower. He'd just drive it away.
It even gets better. A business in California has offered to flip.
All right. So I guess if you want to run a scam, have a family, have a funny 16-year-old and a little chubby 5-year-old, and tell the 5-year-old, here's the car keys. If you accidentally get to the highway, it's this way, and get pulled over, and you say something funny to the news, we may or may not be rich. So our hopes are lying in you, 5-year-old chub kid. This has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you in the future. Bye.